Father, thank you for your many blessings, for all that you've given to us today. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move this morning. That you'd bring encouragement, that you'd bring strength. Lord, that you would help us understand our purpose. And that you have a plan, that you have a purpose for each and every one of us here. May your Holy Spirit minister in such a powerful way this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I thought Amanda was going to be gone this week, so I didn't give her the verses, and then she's here this morning. And so, but if you want to open up your Bibles, we'll be in Judges chapter 6 for most of the sermon, but it's going to be a few minutes before we get there. We'll be in Judges 6 and 7. The title of the message today is, What is Your Excuse? You know, many of us, we have a lot of excuses for things in our lives and who we are and what we are and why we do what we do. And I think for many of us, we offer up an excuse with God daily that we can't do this and we can't do that. We don't want to do this or do that. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That's a popular verse. It's printed up on plaques. It's in our homes. It's all over the place. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But you know, this verse, I think, is widely misused often. When Paul's talking about this verse, he's talking about in the context of whether I'm well fed or whether I'm hungry, that I can do all things through Christ, that whether he's going through tough times or good times, that he can do all things through Christ. But that doesn't mean that I can go jump off of a skyscraper, or I can do this or I can do that because my heart desires. No, it's in accordance with God's will, and it's accordance with God's will for our lives. And even though that verse, I think, is taken out of context, I believe that God wants to do more with each and every one of you this morning than we are allowing Him to do. I believe that with all my heart, and even for me, that God wants to do more with our lives. And many of us were ducking our heads. We're giving excuses. You guys remember when you were in school and the teacher would be calling on somebody to give an answer and you wouldn't make eye contact? Everybody, all at once, your head's down. You didn't want to look up. Why? Because you didn't want to get called on. And even at work now, that we have these, we've had these mornings where there's only a few trailers, and whoever goes and gets the trailer has to stand there at the door and scan everything and tell everybody where to go. And nobody likes doing that job, so the boss will holler, I got two trailers up here, someone come get one. And it's like all at once everybody acts busy because nobody wants to be the one on the ground having to deal with this, you know. Or we have people come to our dock and pick things up. Dock pickup. We've had so many fights over dock pickups because nobody wants to do them. And I think that oftentimes, I'm talking about truck stuff now, that y'all's probably like, what's he talking about? Go back to the classroom when the teacher called on you. You duck your head. You didn't want to be called on. You didn't want to be singled out. I think for many of us, we're ducking our head with God. He wants to do something with our lives. He wants to use us. And many of us, we're ducking our heads and we're giving excuse after excuse after excuse. Isaiah 40:29 says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. That's what the Word of God says. So if you say, I'm too weak, I don't have enough strength, I can't do this. Well, right here it just says, He gives strength to you. That's what the Bible says, that He'll give strength to you and me. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So it's through God and His mighty power that things can be accomplished if we're willing to give over our lives to Him. I got a question for y'all this morning. What's something that you're good at? And this message isn't on humility, so you can tell me. Tell me something you're good at. I'm really asking. Somebody tell me something they're good at. Paint? Painting. Someone else. Whittling. Mitzi can sing. Someone else, tell me something. Cooking. Organizing. There's all kinds of skills. There's all kinds of different things here. Singing, painting, whittling, organizing, cooking. Casey's being modest. Casey's a pretty good athlete. Yeah. I never was a very good athlete, but I was pretty good at football because I just liked hitting people. But now I don't want to be hit, and I don't want to hit anybody. But we all have different things that we're good at, right? So I want y'all to think about what you're good at. Could God use that? Do you think you're good at it? Maybe because God's given you that ability. There's some of us that's good at our, hopefully most of you is good at your jobs. You know, some of you are good at finances. Some of you are good athletes. Some of you are good drivers. Some of you are good homemakers. Some of you are good moms and good dads and good friends. You know, we all have different abilities and different things, but I want you to think that the things that I'm good at because God has given me that ability. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. See, our abilities and what God has given us, we should be using for God's glory. You might can say, well, how can football be something that's used for God's glory? How can, you know, organization be something for God's glory? How can painting be something for God's glory? Y'all, I'm telling you, in every one of our abilities, when used properly, God can receive the glory from that. But so many of us, the things that we're good at, we're holding back. And we're too scared. And we're scared that we might get called out from the crowd. That we might be the one in the classroom that the teacher calls on to say, let's get up and do this or show an example. And many of us are ducking our heads and not using the abilities that God's given us for His glory and for His honor. Judges chapter 6 now. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because of the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crop all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out for help to the Lord. I want y'all to think about that they had done evil. And so right now they were facing God's judgment. And their crops, their land, their livestock, everything was being ruined. And it said there was so many of the Amalekites and the Midianites, and so many of them, they were like swarms of locusts. And then they realized, God, I need your help. Verse 7, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, He sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hands of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. You ever think the reason why some of us don't want to be called upon? Because we know we're not in obedience to God. We know we're living in rebellion. We know we have an area of our life. You know, when the Bible, it's in John 3:16, it's right after that. we read that a few weeks ago, that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We all know that verse, but as you read down a few verses, it says that, men love darkness and would not come into the light. And I'm wondering, for some of us, with our abilities, with all of our talents, with all that God's blessed us with, we're scared to come into the light because we're living in rebellion. We may be outwardly showing up to church. We may be outwardly going through the motions, but in our heart, we're really not right with God because we have hidden sin. We've got rebellion. We've got disobedience there. These people, God had delivered them, but yet they did not listen to God. They still rebelled. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And I want y'all to think about that. Here he's hiding because he's in fear of what he's doing might be exposed. They come and take. And he's hiding, and what does the angel of the Lord calls him? He calls him a mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. How many of you this morning feel like a mighty warrior for the kingdom of God? I don't. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I'm just as scared as everybody else to speak up and say anything. But, y'all, I believe that that's what this whole message is about, is that God wants to do so much more with us than what we are allowing Him, than what we even realize. You are a mighty warrior. Verse 13, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our fathers told us about? When they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hands of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" But Lord, Gideon asked, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Y'all, I believe that that is what so many Christians are walking around saying today. But how can I do anything? I'm the least. I'm weak. I don't know enough. I can't sing. I can't preach. I can't teach. How can I do anything? I have no abilities. I have no special talents. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. How can I do anything? And we're ducking our head and we're full of excuse after excuse after excuse. And meanwhile, the world around us is crumbling and people's perishing and headed to hell. And we're sitting here all comfortable and hidden face just saying, "I can't, I can't, I can't. I'm the weakest. I'm the least." Verse 16, "The Lord answered him, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all, and you will strike down all the Midianites together.'" The Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I will be with you. This morning, I want to encourage you that God wants to use you. God wants to do something great with each and every one of our lives. And it's through His strength and it's through His power. Are we willing to submit? Or are we going to be just full of excuses today? You jump over to verse 25. "And that same night, the Lord said to him, 'Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altars to Baal and cut down the Asherah poles beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord, your God, on the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offering the second bull as a burnt offering.'" So he's telling him, you got to destroy all these false idols, these false temples, and get rid of all that. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. He's been given a direct word from the Lord, but he's still afraid. So he does it under the cover of darkness. Y'all, for many of us, I believe that God has really given us something. But just like here, they had to get the idols out of their lives. And we need to get the idols out of our life. We need to get the junk of this world, the false things that so consume our hearts and minds. We need a cleansing. We need a cleansing. That's the bottom line. All of us need a cleansing to get rid of this garbage in our life. And then sometimes you're still scared. God, what if, what if, what if? But we need to follow through and we need to act and we need to do. Let's jump over to chapter 7, verse 1. It says, early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all of his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remain. What's he saying there? He's saying, you got too many men. Okay, you guys remember what we just read a minute ago, and we're going to see it again here in just a minute, that they were like locusts covering the ground. There were so many of them, and God's saying, you got too many men. You guys are going to take glory. You're going to take honor for this. You need to get rid of some of these. So everybody that's scared, go home. You know what? I might have been the first one. I'm going home then. I'm going to go home and eat a pot of stew with my family, and y'all go fight that battle. And y'all, that's what we relate that today. And there's so many Christians that's going home, so to speak. We don't want to fight the battle. That's someone else's war. That's someone else's battle. I don't want to be a radical, so-called, and a fanatic. That's someone else's fight. God can handle it. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Wait a minute. They lost 22,000, and they're down to 10,000. They're fighting against a swarm of locusts, basically, and he's saying, you still got too many. Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like dogs from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took out the provisions and trumpets of the others. Y'all, so now they're down to 300. I don't ever count how many people we have at church. It's just not my thing. God knows who needs to be here, who doesn't. But just by looking, what, there's maybe 30 of us, maybe. Can we really do anything? I think we can. I think we can. You know, some things that are nice. I have nothing against big churches. I've been to big churches, and sometimes I'm even envious of some of the things that they have. But oftentimes, what can you do at a big church? You can hide, right? You can duck your head because nobody knows whether you miss or not. You miss here, we know. There's a few of us, we know if you're not here, right? Big church, nobody's keeping up with you. Big church, you may not have to serve. You may not have to do anything. Here, you know, we're plugging you into nursery work. We're, you know, whatever we can grab hold of you and make you do, we'll try to, you know, because there's few of us. But y'all, isn't that just where God wants to do some of His greatest work? It's with the few. It's where God can take and say, you didn't do it through your programs. You didn't do it through your intelligence. You did it through my strength, my might, and my power. He says, send them all home, but just keep the 300. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pua and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Pua, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sands on the seashore. That's a lot of people. And he's about to go walking down into it. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianites' camp. It struck the tents with such force that the tents overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelites. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. They had fear already in the camp. They were afraid of what God was going to do. And that fear had begun to spread throughout the camp. Y'all, fear is a powerful thing. It kept the Israelites from taking the promised land, right? They were scared because there was a bad report spread. They said, no, they're giants and we can't take this land. And you know, sometimes fear is keeping us from God doing something great with this body of believers because we're scared. What if I say something? What if they reject me? What if I'm no longer part of the in crowd? What if they make fun of me? What if I'm no longer in the text and in the getting to hang out with my buddies? And we have all this fear of rejection. Verse 15, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all them with torches inside. So you're going to go battle an army with trumpets and empty jars. An army as thick as locusts. Verse 17, watch me, he told them, follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. After that, they had changed guards. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars with their and broke their jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping their torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. What an amazing thing. This army being defeated by just a bunch of guys shouting and breaking glass jars. And they were so full of fear that they turned on each other. They didn't know where it was coming from and what was happening. Y'all, that's just God. That's God, and that's His power, and that's His might. And that's what I believe that God wants to do with each one of us. That He wants us to defeat the Goliaths in our lives. He wants us to do things that we can't even imagine. Greater things than we can even imagine. But He can't do it until we clean the camp out of the idols, of the garbage, of the junk. He can't do it if we're saying, I'm the weak and I'm the least and I'm nothing. I can't get victory over this. I can't do that. I can't. Y'all, the power that God wants to impart on each and every one of us. And when I say that, when I'm talking about doing something great, you know, something great can be something small. It can be that coworker that needs a friend. It could be that woman being abused, that man that's just lost his job, that teenager that's suffering with depression and contemplating suicide. It can be so many different things, but it's God taking and plugging you in and using you. It says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Y'all, that's amazing. Rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. Y'all, that's great in the Father's eyes. And we think, well, we need to grow 20%. We need to fill these pews. And I pray that more people come and more people repent, more people turn their lives over to the Lord. But even if one comes, we're doing His work. Y'all, when you see the world falling apart around us, it's time that we quit with the excuses of "I can't. I can't do anything. I'm too weak. I'm the least. Our little old church." And we make excuse after excuse after excuse. And as I was reading this and studying this, and I thought of a song, and it was "Little as Much When God's In It." And when I was looking at that song, and I thought, what verses did they base that song off of? And they based it off of 1 Corinthians 1:25. And I just read these verses in recent weeks, but it says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." It says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." So see, if you're saying, I'm ignorant, I'm foolish, I'm weak, I can't do this," you're in the perfect spot for God to use you. That's why, right where God can say, "This is through my might and through my strength." And then it's not based on our ability. Verse 28 says, "He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, 'Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" Y'all, I can make excuses, and I still do make excuses. But I understand the only reason why I'm standing up here today is because of the Lord. I understand the only reason why I'm reading and pronouncing stuff wrong is because of the Lord. I've shared with y'all before, I didn't even want to go to children's church and Sunday school as a kid because the teachers would have us read out loud, and I was so embarrassed because I was such a terrible reader, and to ask me to read in front of somebody, I'd almost rather you took a hammer to my kneecaps. And then I sit up here and I read now to all y'all. I know why I'm up here, and it's only because of the Lord. But y'all, I still make so many excuses in my life and other areas. So many of us are confident, strong men and women when it comes to our jobs. We're good at our jobs. We're good at our abilities. We're good at finances, maybe. We're good at sports. We have all this confidence in certain areas of our lives. But when it comes to the thing of God, we're like a little whipped puppy that's scared to speak up. We're scared to say anything. We're scared to take a stand. We're scared to talk. We might offend someone, we might hurt someone's feelings, or we just say, "What if they ask me a question? What if? What if?" You know what? I'm the preacher, and I don't have a problem with saying I don't know, but I can look it up, and I'll do my best. There's nothing wrong with not having an answer to every question someone might have. But there is something wrong if the Holy Spirit's telling you, witness to this person, talk to this person, help this person, and we're too scared because we're whip pups and saying, I just can't. 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And as I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking how confident some of us are in our abilities at work, at business, at conducting our homes, at whatever. We're so confident in some areas, but we're so weak when it comes to the things of the Word of God. Y'all, when we're feeling that weakness, it says His power is made perfect in weakness. And we have a God that loves us so much that we can count on, that we can depend on, that will be there to guide us and direct us. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardship and persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This morning, if you're feeling like you just can't, you need to begin to cry out to God and begin to say, I can. Through you, Lord Jesus, because in my weakness, then I am strong because of your power, because of your might. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Are we declaring God's praises? That who I used to be is not who I am anymore. Are we declaring His praises that He's called us into this wonderful life that no longer we have to be the people that we once were? And I'm going to end with this. And I read these verses last week, but I think God's trying to get through to me and to you. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. God chose you this morning and He appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. This morning, if you've been a wimp, if you've been ducking your head, if you've been unwilling to be obedient to what the Lord's calling you to do, I encourage you this morning to confess your sins, to confess your disobedience, and then submit to God. I didn't read it all, but you guys, I encourage you, maybe this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow or something, read through all of Judges. Because Gideon, he kept questioning. And he said, Lord, show me. And then, Lord, show me. And he put out the fleece. And we didn't read through all that this morning. And it's okay. I believe it's okay to say, God, is this really what you want from me? Is this really the path that you want? But us to be willing to obey. And trust that God has His hand upon your life. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray for forgiveness, Lord, the times that I don't respond and I let things go when I know You're calling me to speak up, when I know You're calling me to say something. Father, forgive me of that. And Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that each and every one of us, Lord, would gain courage, would gain wisdom, would know that You are our strength, that You are our help. And Lord, that Your Word says that You're going to strengthen us, that in our weakness, that Your strength is made perfect through our weakness. And Father, that we would begin to rely upon the strength that only You can give us. Lord, that we might speak the words that we need to speak, that we might do the actions that You've called us to do, Lord, that we might influence the people around us to come into the light, to come out from the darkness and into the light. Father, have your way now. Have your way now with each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for encouragement that if we've blown it, Lord, we would understand there's forgiveness. Where we've disobeyed, that we would understand that You're there ready to welcome us back with open arms. But Father, we would begin to obey right now. Lord, no more excuses. No more excuses for any one of us. May we become the mighty warriors that You've called us to be. May we become the royal priesthood that You've called us to be. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open.
God, I give You what I can today. Your scattered ashes that I hid away, I lay it all. Once and for all,
He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. My prayer for you this week is that you would be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That you would listen, that you would obey what He's called you to do. That we would be a light in this dark world, and that we wouldn't look at our lives and saying, I'm just a little old nothing. We would know through His strength we can do all things. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Be here at 6:30 tonight.